freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here on this Monday, December 11th, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, 2023. And I appreciate you all hopping in with us tonight. Today's a big day in the world of GOP Josh Media, in the world of MAGA Media, because we are doing the first annual MAGA Man of the Year. We have the Time Man of the Year, the wokeness. We have the Taylor Swift Person of the Year, the woke Person of the Year. We need a MAGA Man of the Year. So I put out a series of polls over on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, using both Google Forms and Twitter polls to get down to two final contestants. The first group of contestants were very packed. We narrowed it down to five. We had Carrie Lake, Steve Bannon, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Congressman George Santos, and one other person that's eluding my mind right now that did not make it through. From there, we had the two congressmen in the race, Representative Matt Gaetz and Representative George Santos, both of which I believe are worthy of this title, but only one that can receive this title. So we put it out for a poll, a public vote. On round two, the results were very much more skewed. We almost had a 50% one way, which would have gotten rid of the third round, but we're down to the third round. In that third round, we had a congressman take such an early lead that he was unable to get caught by the other congressman. That congressman, in your GOP Josh Media MAGA Man of the Year, is Representative Matt Gaetz. Representative Matt Gaetz has led the fight in the House for conservative values. The MAGA Man of the Year, Congressman Matt Gaetz, has done everything he can to protect the MAGA movement and protect this country from rhinos, from the establishment, from everyone that's trying to do harm to our country. Representative Matt Gaetz has done that and protected that. And so I am incredibly proud to name him the first annual GOP Josh Media MAGA Man of the Year. He is fighting for this country. He is single-handedly the reason that we have no more Speaker McCarthy, and it is an honor and privilege to name him our MAGA Man of the Year. I wish I had him lined up and queued up on the program, but we don't, so that's not going to happen tonight. But I'd love to have him on soon to talk about this award and what it means to him and what it means to MAGA that he was selected out of a great pool of candidates. And we had a great, great pool of candidates for this. A lot of people sent in their suggestions. And so our first round, let's go to our first round here. I can tell you all the candidates I believe they are all eligible to be MAGA Man of the Year, maybe another year down the road. Steve Bannon, Carrie Lake, Representative Matt Gaetz, Representative George Santos, Brennan Dilley, Nick Adams, J.R. Majewski, Tucker Carlson, Laura Loomers, Dan Scavino, Gavin Wax, Paul Ingracia, Alan Jacoby, Bernie Moreno, Mark Pukita, Justice Joe Dieters, myself, Nico Delgado, and Lane Brown were all of our nominees. And that's a lot of people to narrow down to five. Then we narrowed down to five. We narrowed down to Representative Matt Gaetz, Brendan Dilley, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Representative George Santos. And I'll tell you now, looking at this graph that we're going to put up on the screen for our Rumblers, you would be surprised to see how many. Can we get this on screen, maybe? To see how this turned out. If you knew the names that aligned with this graph, you would be very shocked to see who actually ended up winning. Because it was a 45% for one candidate, 29% for another, 16% for the third, and just a couple votes for the either. So what a wild ride this has been. I am incredibly grateful for all of the community engagement, community interaction. We had over 500, almost 500 votes on the final poll for MAGA Man of the Year. Neither congressman put it out there or asked for votes. It was decided solely by the MAGA base that listens to this program and follows this account. And he is our MAGA Man of the Year. I'm incredibly proud to name that. Although I had a Congressman George Santos shirt in the mail ready to be worn for tonight's reveal. I do not have a Matt Gaetz for Congress shirt. I know someone I was at the congressional baseball game with had a Keep Gaetz Fighting hat. That would have been kind of cool to have tonight. But I digress. I am incredibly proud of this result. I'm incredibly happy we got to this point. And we did have a disqualification for a candidate because he was a rhino. I didn't know that. We didn't dive deep into all the community submissions because obviously the rhinos wouldn't make it through. But there was a rhino that was removed from consideration, just so we all know. So that is the MAGA Man of the Year. Really quick story here with an Iowa poll for President Trump that looks very good. He has surpassed 50% support, according to an NBC News Des Moines Register poll. The largest recorded poll, or largest recorded lead by President Trump, is fueled by majorities of evangelical and first-time likely caucus voters, as well as many nearly three-quarters of Republicans who believe Trump can beat Joe Biden next year despite the legal challenges the former president faces. What's more, the poll finds the former president enjoying more enthusiasm and commitment from his supporters than his rivals do ahead of the January 15 contest in Iowa. The amazing results from the New York Young Republicans speech. It was an incredible event. They had a big gala, so shout out to our New York Young Republicans friends, Gavin Wax, Paul Ingracia, Ben Geller, for all making that such a great event happen, where President Trump was the keynote speaker. Do we have a clip here for... This is from a Paul Ingracia speech, or clip, about 10:41. This is how late this went, and he's there with a lot of energy.
You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers. You know, we're suing the Pulitzer Organization, and we're suing them because they gave the Pulitzer Prize to people that reported on fair and accurately Russia, 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 but it turned out to be totally false. And even they admit now it was a scam. So we say, you know, we're actually suing them, right, Boris? We're suing them, and I hear we're doing very well. They haven't got a response. We're saying, we're demanding that the Pulitzer Prize be taken away from these people that got it because they were wrong. The ones that should get it are also here, many of them. And they're incredible people, and they should get it, and we want them to get it. And we also want damages because great damage was caused by their bad reporting. Rahim Kassam.
Rahim Kassam is great. The national pulse is great. We're going to pick up the rest of this clip after the break. We are running close to out of time in this segment. But when we return, more news, more commentary, everything you've come to know and love on this program. The youngest hour of conservative talk radio in the nation, GOP Josh, back after this.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSH Fiverr, FIVERR.
This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader. Hope you're doing well. Hope you enjoyed the reveal of the MAGA Man of the Year, the one and only Congressman Matt Gaetz. If you missed that, go over to our podcast, GOPJosh.com. Find where you can listen to the podcast, stream it, add it, download it, rate it 5 stars, and you can support us over on Patreon to keep this content on the air. Patreon.com/GOPJosh. Patreon.com/GOPJosh. Let's finish up this clip from President Trump's speech to the New York Young Republicans Club. He kind of also doubled down on the dictator at day one. We're going to talk about that after this this segment.
Thank you, Raheem. Great job. Scott Pressler, fantastic. Thank you, Scott. And of course, Kash Patel. Thank you, Kash. Great job. Get ready, Kash. Get ready. All of you guys, get ready. Paul Ingracia, thank you very much. You've been fantastic.
Friend of the show.
Thank you.
Paul Ingracia, friend of the New York Young Republicans Club, if you heard that cheer.
Thank you. What a job. And all of the countless other distinguished guests that we have here. We have too many to go through, but I wanted to mention a few, and they're really incredible people, and they're very brave people, and they're very great patriots.
Very true. He also shouted out the one and only, if I almost click the right button here for our viewers over on Rumble, he shouted out the one and only J.R. Majewski, who is obviously just coming off of that major chaos with his opponent being a radical rhino, hating Donald Trump. And he came out to endorse Trump after the fact. If you missed us talking about that on the program last week,
J.R. Majewski,
and there's the clip we're going to start playing after this. You can find that from the podcast and see everything there. Let's play this cut now.
J.R. Majewski, somebody that the deep state did some really bad things to, but we stuck by him. We stuck by him. And J.R., where's J.R.? What a job. What a job. Well, it shows perseverance works, right? You know, he backed me. He took a tractor. He had a sign. Trump, Trump, Trump all over the fields of your beautiful state. And you've been totally exonerated. You told the truth. And they played dirty pool, but you'll get a second shot, right? You're going to get a second shot. Great job. What they did to you is very unfair.
And that's just a day after the big news with the with his opponent being called out for hating Trump and actually saying he hates Trump. So the optics here, let me show you the optics of this stage here for those watching on Rumble. This is an incredible stage. They had the NYYRC logo on either side of this big cathedral. This is the same building that, or the same venue where Nancy Pelosi said that half of Trump supporters can be characterized in what you call a basket of deplorables. And so the fact that we went there, I didn't go there, but the Republicans went there, kind of took over that venue, took over the radical, what the left think is radical. That is truly great. And it was a great event by Paul Ingracia and the great people over at the New York Young Republicans Club and Gavin Wax. So let's play this last clip here, and then we're going to move on.
Bad. Baker today in the New York Times, he said that I want to be a dictator. I didn't say that. I said I want to be a dictator for one day. But the New York Times said, and you know why I wanted to be a dictator? Because I want a wall, right? I want a wall, and I want to drill, drill, drill.
The crowd goes absolutely wild.
Well, we did. We built a
truly just a great great energy that this gentleman has. He is, people say he's old, he's too old to serve. I think he's in a great prime. He has mental capacity, unlike the other guy. And so this is huge. There's the Jared Majewski clip again. We don't need to play the same clips over and over. He read the snake.
It's amazing. All right, you're going to hear it now. Now then.
Not going to play this whole thing. You know the snake. You know it very, very well.
A legendary piece of poetry. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Poor thing, she cried, I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a comforter of silk and laid him by her fireside with some honey and some milk. She hurried home from work that night, and soon as she arrived, she found the pretty snake she'd taken in had just survived. Take me in, oh, tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh, tender woman, cried the vicious snake. She clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in by now, you truly would have died. She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying, thank you, ma'am, the snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, oh tender woman, take me in for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman, sighed the vicious snake.
This is at 11:30 p.m.
I saved you, cried the woman. And you've bitten me, but why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. That's what's happening to our country.
Absolutely. I said I wouldn't play the whole thing, but you really can't stop that at any point. That is the pinnacle of poetry, the pinnacle of all things President Trump is the snake. And it's such an iconic moment, that last little part where he screams the...
Shut up, silly woman.
I mean, just... Okay, imagine you're sitting there, 11:30 p.m., in the Wall Street ballroom that is hosting this event. And you're sitting there, you're probably a couple drinks deep, knowing most of these young Republicans are old enough to drink. You're sitting there, a couple drinks deep, listening to the 45th, 46th, and 47th president speak, talking about a snake and reading poetry. What a vibe. And no other candidate could stand there in a bow tie, in a nice suit. It's also being reported by my friend Johnny MAGA that Trump got two refills of his Diet Coke and did not touch his broccoli during the entire dinner, which, I mean, I agree with. Imagine sitting there in this venue, that this Cipollini, it's the Cipollini Wall Street, however you pronounce it. The upscale venue, a huge venue, with Donald Trump reading The Snake. I don't think anyone in that venue probably has ever read The Snake in its life. And we are replacing the basket of deplorables, and we are bringing in the shut up silly womans and the snakes. Huge, great moment, great event. And so some bad news now. We only have about a minute left. Might have to pick this up after the break. I need to learn to figure out how to make these segments longer. So Jack Smith is urging the U.S. Supreme Court to rule on presidential immunity when it comes to the charges, because President Trump obviously should have presidential immunity for a lot of the things he did while he was president, knowing he was president. Jack Smith on Monday asked the Supreme Court to decide whether Donald Trump had any immunity from criminal prosecution for alleged crimes he committed while in office, the first time that the High Court will weigh in on the historic prosecution of the former president. The extraordinary request is an attempt by Smith to keep the election subversion trial, currently scheduled for early March, on track. Smith is asking the Supreme Court to take the rare step of skipping a federal appeals court and quickly decide a fundamental issue of the case against Trump. Smith's team has asked the court to review District Judge Tanya Chutkan's ruling that a former President Trump is not immune from the election subversion prosecution case brought in Washington, D.C. Lawyers for the former president has argued that Trump's alleged actions over the 2020 election results were part of his official duties at the time, and therefore he is protected by presidential immunity. More on this, my thoughts, after the break. You're listening to The Conservative Crusader, the voice of the future. GOPJosh.com, back after this.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader. Appreciate you all joining us. If you want to support the program, also get something cool on Fiverr, a logo, a business card design, a translation service. You need a custom hat like the one I'm wearing, the MAGA hat. Need one of those that says something different. Go over to Fiverr. Get that taken care of. bit.ly/GOPJosh, Fiverr, Fiverr. Or the top link in the show notes below, bit.ly/GOPJosh, Fiverr, or the top link in the show notes below. For those listening on the podcast, those listening on the air, you can go to that link I just named you off and support the program, get something cool at Fiverr if you enjoy the content you're listening to. So about this Jack Smith case, so people are trying to figure out whether, or Jack Smith is trying to figure out whether or not President Trump is protected under this special counsel immunity. By the way, we are live on X Spaces as well. Shout out to the Media Matters for America guy listening to the program. Hope you're doing well, Jack. So the Supreme Court, and he popped out, you know, kind of par for the course. The Supreme Court said it will expedite consideration of Smith's petition to rule on the question of whether Trump deserves immunity. Trump has until December 20th to file a response. And I besides the point, we're going to get back to this. That Media Matters guy just hopped into my X Spaces as I started this segment of the program, because we keep the mics on during the break. He joins in. I click on his name because I've never heard of the guy before. It says a rapid response director at MM4A, Media Matters for America. And I'm like, all right, we're going to troll this guy. Say his name, he dips. So I don't even know who this guy is. Jack, I don't know. We'll figure it out, but I don't know. I'm not familiar with the guy. I thought it was hilarious that he just popped in and then just left. Jack Wheatley. Here's what his bio says. Rapid response, always anti-fascist, Spartan tweets mine. So whatever, he writes for a Texas blog online, whatever, dude. But rapid response for Media Matters from Michigan. So I mean, you know the top of the Ohio segment, how we feel about Michigan. But that's just funny. I'm gonna follow the guy back just for fun. Anyways, besides the point. If you think President Trump, in an action he did as president, he did not do anything unprecedented as president in regards to the 2016 or 2020 election. If Barack Obama was running for re-election again for a third time, I'm shocked he didn't try, he would have done the same thing when President Trump wiped the floor with him in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Ohio, in all of these states where it was supposed to be a swing state that Trump won by a bunch. And it's not unprecedented to challenge an election. We saw Dianne Feinstein challenging the 20, God rest her soul, challenging the 2016 election. We saw Nancy Pelosi supporting challenges of the 2016 election. It is not unprecedented when you lose to challenge an election. The only thing is, this time we had prosecutors all over the, not prosecutors, we had secretaries of states all over the nation changing the rules of this election. They changed them. They made it easier to drop off a ballot that you filled out in your home, drop off however many ballots you wanted to in these boxes with no sort of repercussions. Did not track who dropped off a ballot. Some states mailed out a ballot to every single registered voter in the state. You can go to your Board of Election website or voterrecords.com if you're in one of the states with public voter registration and type in your name, pulls up your voter registration, type in, look at the address and see how many people are registered to vote from your address, especially if you've recently moved. You'd get a ballot for every single one of those people. Who's going to make sure that those are the people filling out the ballots? Tyler Bauer from Turning Point Action. Let's see if I can pull up his tweet from a while ago, I remember, where he had a bunch of ballots sent to his house, and he didn't know who these ballots belonged to that were sent. He's in Arizona, sent to his house, however many ballots there were, that he didn't ask for, he didn't request, that were just mailed out to him anyway. I think he had like four ballots. It's him and his wife and a bunch of young kids that aren't able to vote. That's the problem with the 2020 election. And we're not trying to say there was, maybe it was the machines. Maybe the machines had part of it. But the rapid inflation of how many ballots were filled out, the inflation of the voter rolls right before the election, the amount of people who were in nursing homes that didn't know they voted, that voted in this election, is unprecedented. And it needed to be looked at. President Trump encouraged that, and Jack Smith doesn't like it. President Trump did not lead to the insurrection, or if you want to call it an insurrection, I'm not calling it, I'm calling it a Fedsurrection, but the incident on January 6th.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
I don't know what peacefully and patriotically means, but it doesn't mean go ram down barricades and assault police officers and this and that. That's not what it's saying. That's not what he tried to do. President Trump simply tried to make sure the election was fair and square. And had the election been fair and square, President Trump would not have fought to overturn it. That's the difference between 2016 and 2020. There were no massive election law changes. There were no massive inflation of voter rolls, at least publicly available that we know about, in the 2016 election. And now we have 2020, where they change everything in the world to take President Trump down. And we wanted to look at that. And that's where this question comes into play. So the question really is, as president, did Donald Trump do anything that would have been out of his presidential powers to try to overturn the election? The answer is no. And we can move on from that. So a Seattle student failed a quiz for saying men can't get pregnant. This is kind of a transition here. This is from 770 KTTH, Conservative Talk Radio, Jason Rantz. An activist history teacher failed a Seattle student on a quiz for saying only women can get pregnant and that only men have the male parts down there. A 10th grade ethics studies world history teacher at Chief Self International High School in Seattle gave students a quiz titled, quote, Understanding Gender v. Sex. The quiz provided a series of statements to label true or false or questions with multiple choices. Many of the questions focused on personal pronoun use, when someone uses they/them pronouns, what does that mean about their gender identity, or assumptions one may make around gender identity. True or false, transgender people are gay. Two questions, however, are objectively false, but taught students the opposite. Question four was a true or false statement with the question, all men have penises. The student labeled the statement true, since it is in fact true. Fun fact, only men are men. That's something pretty basic. But the teacher penalized the answer, marking it incorrect. The teacher claims a woman can have a manly part. Similarly, question 7 was a true or false question with the statement, only women can get pregnant. Again, the student marked the statement true because only women can get pregnant. You know where we're going with this. Again, the teacher penalized the student, insisting the answer is false. The teacher believes men can get pregnant. The student's mother wrote to the Jason Rantz Show on KTTH expressing frustration and anger. She says she expressed concerns to the school but was met with silence. I'm trying to wrap my head around how it is legal to teach inaccurate information and force students to answer against their beliefs or receive negative scores, she said to the Jason Rantz Show on KTTH. She asked for anonymity for a fear her son would face retribution. The mom told the Jason Rantz Show that she worries about the school routinely allowing teachers to bring political beliefs into the classroom. The gender identity issue is just one example. She also said her child, who is white, routinely faces scrutiny for his skin color and so-called privilege. People ask me a lot of the time that I do this program, that I speak at different events. And by the way, I'm open to speaking at your event. If you want to email me, josh@gopjosh.com. If you're around Ohio or you want to fly me out somewhere, I'd be willing to do that as well. The reason I do what I do, the reason I'm 17 years old, I'm in political commentary, I'm in political activism, I work for candidates, I do this and that, is because the left has taken over in every way, shape, and form, in every sort of traditionalist view of a society or a regime or any sort of control we're supposed to have as a country. The left has taken over. When it comes to teaching our kids, the left has taken over. When it comes to trying to figure out how life works for these young people, teachers have taken over. Parents can teach a kid one thing, the schools will teach something else. And that is not right. We need to have, and the reason I started Ohio High School Republicans before that was disbanded for a lot of reasons, hard to understand, is because if Republican students, if actual Gen Z people aren't telling the people that in Gen Z that aren't quite as free thinkers as we are about what's true and what's real, we're not going to have a generation anymore. We're not going to have a future of this country anymore if Republicans don't win this upcoming election and if we don't have a generation of young conservatives moving forward. I'm worried about this story that we're reading right now from MyNorthwest.com. I'm worried of the fact that teachers think men can get pregnant and that women can have manly parts. I don't like that. But it's not something I can change. I'm not in the teacher's union. I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to be a teacher. That's not something I'd ever want to do. And I respect those that want to be teachers. But I do not stand by while my generation is taught lies with no retribution and no sort of consequence. And if you question this, if you challenge this, if you go to the school board, you will be put on a watch list by the FBI. Can you think about that? What kind of society will put a teacher, or not a teacher, a parent on a watch list for wondering what's going on about their student, for wondering what their student is being taught? That is not a society that I want to live in. And if we want to save this country, if we want to do anything, we truly need to fight. And we need to take back this generation, my generation, Generation Z. And that's why when I do interviews with candidates, I ask them, what are you doing to engage Generation Z? Most of them have something going on, whether it's just knocking doors or whether it's actually a youth coordination advisor, a youth, something like that, that's actually doing something. But we need to take Gen Z seriously, get in the schools. And the RNC doesn't understand this. The RNC will prop up these rich donor kids to do a youth advisory council where they're advising the RNC on what to do, but not actually action, not actually doing anything. We need a youth action council, not a youth advisory council. We need young people in the schools telling young people about the Republican Party, about conservative values, not an advisory council, not advising them on what to do. We need action, not advisory. Back after this, you're listening to The Voice of the Future, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Future Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOPJosh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/theconservativecrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected, but anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks, and now back to the Conservative Crusader. Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. This is the Ohio segment, if you can't tell by the song. Choice, for those new listeners we have, make sure you rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. All that fun stuff. We are also already getting media attention by this Ron Filipowski guy that doesn't know how to quote tweet, talking about the MAGA Man of the Year, Congressman Matt Gaetz. We're so back. I love getting attention on these sort of things that we're doing in the MAGA movement because it's positive. We're actually propping up good people, not rhinos. New polling shows the Ohio Senate race is tightening. We've seen for a long time that Bernie Moreno was at like 6%. Frank LaRose had a wide lead. An internal poll, which I take with a grain of salt, is showing that Bernie Moreno, my guy, Bernie Moreno, is taking the lead. A second poll is showing that Bernie Moreno has pulled ahead of the other candidates to try to replace Sherrod Brown. A stark departure from previous polling that showed Secretary of State Frank LaRose with an advantage. The latest poll conducted in early December from the Moreno campaign by Fabi LaRosso, Lee and Associates found Moreno with a 23% of the vote compared to LaRose with 19%, Matt Dolan with 18%. 40% of the 600 likely primary voters surveyed were undecided. The margin of error is 4%. Moreno has been on TV airing ads over the past month to boost his name ID, and his surveys indicate the strategy may be working. The National Republican Senatorial Committee is remaining neutral in the March primary, one of the most consequential 2024 Senate races. The Senate is one of the three red states with a Democrat-held Senate seat up for grabs. Joe Manchin has retired, which makes the spotlight on Ohio and Montana even brighter. LaRose is a statewide elected office holder, had an early lead in some initial polling, but he has trailed Dolan and Moreno, who are both personally wealthy in fundraising. Dolan and Moreno has been airing TV ads in the last recent week. So I was talking to Bernie Moreno yesterday. I had the privilege of seeing him and speaking with him for, I didn't speak with him for the whole time for a long time, but I spent about 2 hours around him and his campaign, seeing how they work, seeing how they're doing, and making sure they're going to win. And I'm incredibly, I'm happy to see where they're going and seeing what they're doing. He mentioned the fact that they are the first on TV. They were before Dolan when it comes to TV. They are going to be on TV for longer than Matt Dolan, and Frank LaRose or Bernie Moreno is willing to put more money into this than Matt Dolan. And he actually has money, unlike Frank LaRose, who is our Secretary of State, a big rhino that is running in the seat that wants to send our American troops over to Ukraine. Remember that fact. They want to send our troops to Ukraine. Bernie Moreno does not. And that's my biggest issue at this point is, is my senator going to try and send my generation overseas? That's my big thing, and I like someone that doesn't want to do that, and so I'm incredibly happy we have our one and only Bernie Moreno running. So something just happened to my computer. I have two monitors; they're now both all one monitor. Not sure how I can fix that, but we'll manage. Frank LaRose has these the last of the Senate candidates to file a financial disclosure. Getting a lot of ads. Thanks, Cleveland.com. Is Frank LaRose a thousandaire, as he claims to be? His campaign says yes, although a mandatory financial disclosure doesn't make that clear. In a disclosure filed Monday, LaRose said he and his wife own assets worth somewhere between $800,000 to $1.9 million. That includes a joint USAA savings account containing somewhere between $500,000 to $1 million in cash, as well as mutual funds in LaRose's name, their state retirement account, worth somewhere between $282,000 and $630,000. Here we go. I'm figuring out my computer. The amounts are provided in ranges rather than specific dollar amounts because that's how Senate candidates are required to disclose them. A campaign spokesman told Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer that though financial disclosures assets are worth well below $1 million, he is the only candidate in the race without a golden nest egg, a trust fund, or a sweetheart loan from a major bank. Kendall said the Biden economy championed by Sherrod Brown does not make a difference to the millionaires in the race, but it does to Frank and the vast majority of Ohioans. LaRose has used the thousandaire joke as he pointed to comparatively greater wealth from his two primary opponents, Matt Dolan and Bernie Moreno, who are each worth at least $14 million, according to their financial disclosures. LaRose said his relatively modest financial situation makes him more in tune with the concerns of average Ohioans. Let me tell you what makes you more in tune with the concerns of average Ohioans, Frank LaRose, who is in no way, shape, or form an average Ohioan. Bernie Moreno is traveling all over this state. He is going and speaking to voters, making sure he knows their concerns. He is speaking to them honestly. He's not lying to one voter, lying to another, and then coming out and endorsing Trump after he says he hates him. Right? Bernie was the first to endorse President Trump. He is the Trump candidate in this race. Trump has shouted him out many times from the stage, and I believe he will get the Trump endorsement. I really hope he will, at least. But what actually makes you in tune with average Ohioans? Frank LaRose, if rumors are true, took a private jet from Lorain, Ohio to Delaware County, Ohio, to seek the endorsement of the Delaware County Republican Party. Not sure if he's made a single stop there before, but he flew his jet down there to do that, or his friend's jet, whatever actually happened. Bernie Moreno has done events all over this state, getting in tune and getting connections with the voters. Just because he doesn't have the same name ID, he doesn't have the same statewide ballot name, doesn't mean he's not going to win. Bernie Moreno, the endorsement meeting for Madison County's Republican Party of Ohio is going to be January 2nd. Bernie Moreno decided, instead of just showing up to the event hoping they like me, he decided to invite every member of the County Central Committee, as well as any member of the public, to come to this fancy restaurant, hors d'oeuvres on him. I think drinks were on him, too. I didn't oblige, of course. And actually hear their concerns. Took questions for about an hour, and we were pretty much out of questions at that point. And he provided good answers that people wanted to hear. Not what they wanted to hear because he doesn't believe them, but I've heard him speak probably four times now, if I had to guess, and he's been the same every time. He's been consistent. He has been honest, and he shows people where he stands. Something Frank LaRose has yet to do. Frank LaRose won't come out in public and say where he stands on half the issues, because when he does, he's wrong, and he's not in line with Ohioans. He's flying to run an election, so to speak, and I don't even think he is for that. But when you go on stage saying that Ukraine and sending our troops to Ukraine is important to you, I will never vote for you. If you go on stage and you say that we should send our troops overseas to fight for Ukraine, you should not be in a Republican race. You should be in an other loyalty race. And that's the same thing with people who are advocating for all of our money. Matt Dolan saying we should send all of our money to Ukraine because they're spending it in America. No, that's not how that works. I don't care if they're spending it in America. Keep the money here. Spend our money for ourselves, for our own military, instead of shipping it overseas. The priorities of these candidates are not the same. Bernie is the only one in the race willing to support MAGA values. And that is why I am looking forward to seeing him in the U.S. Senate, hopefully back on the program soon. And we'll see. We'll see where that goes. And I look forward to seeing him get 88 county endorsements from 88 Republican parties over the next few months. All right, friends, we are going to wrap up the program here. Hope you all enjoyed the youngest hour of talk radio in the nation. If you did, go to your favorite podcatcher, your podcasting provided podcaster platform. Rate us 5 stars over on Apple, on Spotify. Download our podcast wherever you get podcasts. Even if you don't listen to the podcast, if you download it, helps boost us, gets our show out there. Rate us 5 stars. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh. And most importantly, my friends, you need to stay safe. You need to stay healthy. And most importantly, stay tuned. Have a great night, friends. We'll see you on Wednesday.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.